I'm Marco Werman with The World. Here is one small detail that says a lot about life in Yemen right now. There's no electricity in the capital, Sana'a. There's also no fuel to run generators. Both are the result of the violence that's engulfed Yemen in recent weeks and of the three-week-old bombing campaign supported by the U.S. and carried out by Saudi Arabia. Today, stores in Sana'a no longer have food on the shelves, and refrigerators stopped running 4 days ago. Reporter Iona Craig lived in Sana'a until recently. She says if the days there without power sound hard, just imagine what it's like at night.
That's a pretty scary experience if you're on the ground. If you're sitting in the dark, probably by candlelight because you can't recharge anything to be able to get power by artificial light, and you've got families and you've got children, and all you can hear at night is the sound of anti-aircraft guns across the city, as well as the sound of bombs being dropped from the sky. So I think it's really hard to even imagine what that feels like.
I mean, the premise for the Saudi bombing campaign is the threat by the Houthis. Are the Saudis thinking that if they can keep the Houthis from having electricity, they can defeat them?
I don't know. You probably have to ask them what their thinking is behind that. It does seem to be that the Saudis' airstrikes have been increasingly over the last few days targeting infrastructure. You know, there is not only a no-fly zone, but there is a naval blockade, and Yemen relies on those food imports. It imports 90% of its food. So when we talk about food shortages at the moment, that's not just because food can't be transported around the country because of the lack of fuel. It's because of the lack of food.
On 2 points, where does the U.S. fit into this, on supporting the Saudis with the airstrikes, and is the U.S. prepared to kind of line up any humanitarian assistance for the Yemenis?
Well, at the moment, we know that the U.S. is helping logistically with targeting supposedly, you know, military facilities and arms depots. More recently, we know that the Americans are due to be involved in the naval blockade side of things, inspecting boats and cargo ships that are inbound to Yemen. Now, we don't really know whether that means that food will be allowed through, or even fuel for that matter, because as I mentioned, fuel is necessary to pump water. Possibly fuel would not be allowed through because that would be seen by the Saudis as helping the Houthis' war effort.
Iona, if this does tragically turn into a multi-year conflict in Yemen, project yourself, say, 2 years into that conflict and peer back to right now. What is the world not getting right on Yemen?
Well, I think actually what they got wrong, they got it wrong a long time ago in the wake of the Arab Spring in 2011. You know, when Ali Abdullah Saleh signed over power, it was an international deal that was done and he was given immunity and allowed to stay in the country. And of course, now he is very much the strong hand behind the Houthis. It's his military units that are loyal to him, that are giving power, military power to the Houthis and helping them to do what they've done over the last year and a half. I think it was very naive or foolish, or maybe it was a case of sticking their heads in the sand of the international community and the regional community to assume that Ali Abdullah Saleh would go home and put his feet up and write his memoirs and do his gardening as he claimed he was when he was first interviewed after he stepped down. And so, you know, in 2011, that GCC deal that was signed for Saleh to hand over power. The Gulf Cooperation Council deal that was signed in 2011 by Ali Abdullah Saleh. The reaction to that was we had to do this, the international community, because it was to prevent civil war. Well, now we can see that they kicked the can down the road. That civil war is happening right now.
That's longtime Yemen correspondent Iona Craig speaking with me from London. Jamal Ben Omar, you're at the United Nations in New York. You're stepping down now after 4 years as a UN envoy to Yemen. You've talked with all the powers in the region, tried to prevent the kind of war we're seeing now. When people ask you what went wrong, what do you tell them?
Well, look, when I took up this post, it was in 2011. It was in the context of the Arab Spring. And what motivated me at that time, you know, was helping these youth, you know, who were occupying all the squares throughout the country to realize their dream for peaceful change and for building a democratic state. I brokered, you know, the transition agreement, which was signed in Riyadh in November 2011. It was a negotiated settlement, so there was something for everybody. But it was not a perfect agreement, but it was enough. There was enough in that agreement that will open the way for progressive change. And one thing that was very important.
But it sounds like there really was not enough in that agreement for progressive change, as we can see now.
there was enough, in fact, in that agreement for progressive change. The flaw was the immunity.
For Abdullah Saleh.
Yes, something that the United Nations was very clear warning the international community that it was a big mistake. So expecting, you know, that this transition will move forward peacefully, you know, with Ali Abdullah Saleh still heading, you know, the largest political party that has 50% of the seats in the cabinet, 90% of the governorships, 100% local council. It was really naive, you know, to think that will proceed smoothly and so on.
So you're saying Iona Craig is correct, that the world was sticking its head in the sand?
Absolutely. You know, she's correct, you know, saying this. But this was not the only flaw. This was a deal at that time in 2011 between two sides, the former ruling party and the parliamentary opposition. But there were other groups. We argued for inclusion. We argued that Houthi should be part of the political process, that the southern separatist Hirak will need to have a seat at the table. We argued also that youth should have a voice and women. And that's why we promoted the idea of a national dialogue, and it was very successful. It was the first time in history of any Arab country, really, that all political sides, including youth and women, come through a process of deliberations to freely determine, you know, their future. And they concluded with the blueprint for new democratic governance. The problem was in the implementation. Soon after the end of the national dialogue, very powerful forces, Ali Abdullah Saleh, but others also, all the power brokers in the country, they had no real intention to see this progressive change, you know, taking place. So a combination of factors all revolve around, you know, lack of political will and politicking, and the narrow political interest in the political class led to mistake after mistake, and things got out of hand.
I mean, it's really hard to imagine anyone in Yemen sitting down at the table now to negotiate anything. There are a lot of Yemenis, apparently, who blame you for just how cleaved the situation has become.
Well, look, I was denounced by Al-Qaeda as a stooge for the Americans. Houthis said that I was from Al-Qaeda. Ali Abdullah Saleh said that I am supporting the revolutionary youth, and so on and so on, and we're used to this. But, you know, we try to play a facilitation role. Our mediation helped the Yemenis conclude successfully the national dialogue process. Our mediation led to the signing of the peace and partnership agreement. Violations by different sides, particularly the Houthis, created the conditions, you know, for the country to enter this new phase of conflict. But as UN, we did what we could. You know, we don't have borders with Yemen. You know, we don't have commercial interests like some countries. We don't have drones hanging over Yemen. The most impartial actor in Yemen is the United Nations. And I hope that sooner or later, Yemenis will come to the negotiating table, and they will discuss again from where they left it a few weeks ago when I was shepherding the process, which is to hammer out a power-sharing arrangement to end the transition and put it back on track.
Jamal Ben Omar, United Nations Envoy to Yemen, speaking with me from New York. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You're with the world.